The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and brought to you in part by our friends at Boost Mobile, the switch that gives you more. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, amazing Kwanzaa, so many great holidays and so many great moments and times. Hope you guys had a great day and week with your family. But one person who's still cranking things out this holiday season is Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan, who delivers the last joke of the week for 2019.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Hope you're good. Having a great holiday season here. You know, we lost a dog last night in the Brandon Park. So I looked for 20 minutes, couldn't find the dog. And my wife said, you should really look harder. So I shaved my head and got a neck tattoo, but I still can't find the dog. Thank you very much.
Finishing the year strong. So Duff is trying to finish the year strong, at least. Can you picture Duff with a shaved head and a neck tattoo? It's making me laugh. But Duff, thanks to him for making me laugh and all of us laugh every single Friday in 2019, just like he did in 2018 and for half of 2017. Can't wait to hear what he has lined up for 2020. We appreciate you, Duff. We love you. Someone else we appreciate, recently just appreciated after not liking him for a while, one third of the Jurassic Express tag team in All Elite Wrestling. It's the first tag team he's ever been a part of. And like me, everyone told him he was too small to wrestle or make it at all in the business when he first started wrestling about 5 years ago. That's right. Marco Stunt makes his Talk is Jericho debut starting now. Talking, man. Just two guys talking here.
Two jack dudes talking.
I guess you'd say we're like peers now.
Ah.
I'm a peer of Marco Stunt.
That's what's
up. Who would ever guess that? Obviously with Marco Stunt, because I just said it. And once again, when I first heard about you, you're a really small guy.
Yeah.
Word is out. The secret's out.
Sorry to burst the bubble, everybody.
But it's funny because now that you're here, and we've talked about this before, and we'll get into it all, it's just another definition and another version of a small guy coming into the business, and people sometimes don't like that. And I know that from a fact because I was one of them. I remember when I first started or wanted to get into wrestling, people would say like, oh my gosh, you're too small. And I was like, well, says who? Because times were different then. And here we are, I'm the size of Hulk Hogan and you're the size of me, conversely, yeah. Right? So I guess just to start out with, I mean, when you obviously saw your physical stature and when you're growing up, were you always wanting to get into wrestling? What gave you that? It takes a lot of balls to come into this business being your size. And we'll get into all of that, but let's just start with that question right there.
Well, I mean, I guess growing up, I never really saw myself as a different size, per se, because I've always been this size. I don't know what it's like to be any taller, any smaller, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I know what it's like to be smaller, but I don't know what
it's like. I was a baby.
I don't know what it's like to be any taller than I am. So I've always had the mentality of like, oh, well, if I want to do that, I'm going to go do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I'm real big about taking negative things the wrong way. Like I've always taken negative things to heart, like, so it's real hard to get on Twitter and see a bunch of stuff now, but like even back when I wanted to do it growing up, I had people tell me I shouldn't, I'm small, and then so I kind of threw that away for a long time until I was probably 15 or 16. And then I went to a show, and they didn't really take me seriously. But I went to that show, then the dude died, so he didn't get to train me. And so I waited 3 more years, and then my senior year of high school, I started training after we went to a show. They actually didn't want to train me at first. They wanted my buddy because he's 6'5", 6", 320, you know.
So you went to an independent show?
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Mississippi.
Mississippi, gotcha.
Live in North Mississippi, right outside of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Memphis.
Yeah, big wrestling area.
I say it was. I wouldn't say it is anymore now. Mm-hmm. It's, there's still wrestling, but there's so much of it. It's all the same thing. I don't really mean that. I'm not trying to say that in a bad way, but it's, you know,
yeah.
It's all the same thing now.
Right. So you went to a couple of these shows and you were looking for someone to train you.
Yeah.
And the one guy died and you had to wait. And so another person.
Yeah, I went. Yeah. These other people were, they looked at me and they were like, wait, are you serious? Because I'm the one that asked, because I'm the talky one out of any group that I'm in usually. But, my buddy who's like 6'5", he saw him. He was real interested in him. And then my other buddy who's, he's probably like 5'7". He's not the tallest guy ever either. But, they both started with me and I'm the only one that's really stuck with it so far. And I'd say it's gotten me.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those things once again. So when I know, like, going back to 1990, when I started telling people that you were going to go into wrestling, I remember I told my church, and the pastor was super cool and he brought me up to the front and said, he's going to go into wrestling. People started laughing. It was much like you said, just, I used it to drive me to, like, you know, I'm going to show them I'm going to do this. But people were like, you're just like, dude, wrestling's about big guys and you're not big. So what were people saying to you when you told them what you wanted to do?
I mean, to my face, a lot of people were like, oh, okay, yeah, cool, man, whatever. But, you know, I have a lot of friends that tell me what other people say otherwise, you know.
So
I know exactly how they really feel. And even family members didn't take me seriously until probably, I guess, a few months ago. And now everybody wants to be.
Because now you're on TV, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to talk to me now. That's whatever. But it was, I don't know. I forgot where I was going with this now.
I was just asking what people used to say to you.
Oh, yeah. They, really, I didn't have a lot of people telling me I couldn't do it. I had a lot of people telling me I shouldn't do it because they're more worried about me in general, which is fine. I get it, but I'm a tough kid. I feel like I've proven that. And I just wanted to show them, prove them wrong, to be honest. And it drove me. And there were the ones that told me that I would never make it. There were the ones that told me, getting into it, that it was a stupid idea, that I should just stay in Mississippi and not try to get out and just stay in a comfort zone, you know?
Was there certain guys that you watched when, like, did you grow up a wrestling fan?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, big time. So were you watching some of the smaller guys and going, I want to be like that, or did you not even notice?
No, actually, because when I was growing up, my favorite wrestler who actually got me into wrestling was the Big Show. I watched like Ray and Eddie and Chris mm-hmm. but Big Show, Kane, Undertaker, I wanted to be tall. I wanted to be big because my dad used to let me choke slam him onto the couch and stuff. And he would choke slam me on the couch. And I was like, man, I want to do this when I grow up. I want to choke slam people. I want to step over the top rope and have pyro go off on the stage for me when I come out. You know? Mm-hmm. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then I started growing up, or you know, kind of. And
didn't grow up as much as you wanted?
Not as much as I wanted, not quite. I needed to grow about 2 more feet. I respected, like, smaller guys wrestling and stuff, but my heart was set on, like, the giants of wrestling, because it's, I guess when I was growing up, that's what it was. It was mm-hmm. the bigger they are, the better they are. You know?
That was always kind of the thought process behind mm-hmm. wrestling up until the last 5 or 10 years, actually, you know? Like, if you look at, like, if you would have come around 30 years ago, you never would have had a chance.
No.
If I would have come around, you know, 5 years before I did, I never would have had a chance. It would have been, you know, a jobber in the ring for One Man Gang or whatever it was. But times change because of the physicality of the job and the speed of the job. But even still, I mean, if you're talking about small guys that aren't, you know, minis, like they say in Mexico, you're probably the smallest guy I've ever seen in the business.
Yeah. I take that as a positive too. Mm-hmm. I brag about that. I tell people, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I'm the smallest guy to ever wrestle. And I don't mean literally the smallest guy, because obviously there are minis. A good friend of mine, Dylan Hornswoggle.
Sure.
He's obviously.
But he's a little person.
He's a little dwarf. Person.
Right.
Yes. And I'm a good bit taller than him. Like, which makes me feel good.
He weighs more though.
He weighs a lot more than me. He probably weighs two of me.
Yeah.
But I'm not a mini at all. I brag about being the smallest wrestler. Mm-hmm. So I don't find that as a bad thing at all.
Well, it makes you stand out, right?
Yeah. It's literally why I got signed. They told me that if I had been a normal size, I wouldn't be here. So I think it is a standout thing, and I feel like I'm able to do. Okay, here's the thing. I feel like if I was small and just small, that I wouldn't be here. But I feel like I'm bringing something other than just being small to the table now.
Well, and I agree with you on that, because when I think about other guys in the biz that were smaller before, obviously Mysterio is one in a million to this day.
Yes.
You know, he created a whole style of wrestling, and when he came around, he really was like a real life Jackie Chan. Couldn't believe it. And then you get a guy like Spike Dudley, who was more of a personality. And you're kind of a combination of both of those. You have this kind of tenacious personality, which we've been working with, and you can do a whole gaggle of amazing athletic acrobatic maneuvers. So you're not just some little dude that's just hanging around. You actually have something that you're bringing to the table with that.
Yeah. I'd like to say so. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, there you go. Can't stop smiling now. So when you first started going to wrestling school, what was kind of, did you train like everybody else? I mean, what was kind of the way that you got into it?
Yeah, I trained whenever they had a show, and I would go set up, which was like two times a month. And I would go set up the ring. I would run my laps. He would have me run my laps and stuff, and put all the cardio in. But they were trying to train me how to be a Memphis wrestler. Like, they weren't trying to train me to my size and how to use my size. They were teaching me how to put a headlock on and what position to hold my hands and when to shoot somebody off at the right time and the foot positioning there and how to give somebody a shoulder tackle or a clothesline or how to give somebody a body slam. And I don't feel like I should be body slamming really many
right.
people at all.
Right. You know?
But I guess over time, I mean, I'm very glad I learned all that stuff, because it definitely is in the
you need
in
your
head.
Foundations yes. to build upon, right?
100%. Yeah. But I feel like I wasn't in the right area, and I had to get out to learn how to be me. Mm-hmm. You know,
how did you do that?
Luckily, I met some guys that traveled around the little indie circuits around there, and they took me to. Well, we became friends, and they took me to. Illinois for the first time, which was my first out-of-state gig mm-hmm. ever, which was really cool. It was like 6 hours away. We drove straight there, straight back, and the show started at 7 and ended at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he had 18 matches.
Oh my gosh.
18 matches, because he wanted to fit everybody that showed up on the show. So everybody was getting an opportunity. Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I came with some guys that he was buddies with, so they put me in a singles match, which was really cool. So they said I did good there, so I got a return gig there. They brought me back a few times, which led to me meeting some more people, which got me into the St. Louis area, and then I went down into Tennessee, Nashville area, which is one of my favorite places to wrestle, is Nashville.
Why is that? What happened there?
It's one of my homes, I guess. There's a promotion down there called Southern Underground Pro. It's where I say I broke out for the most
part.
The way that they saw me here was
in AEW.
Yeah, in AEW. Cody saw me for the first time. I did a show at Lost. It was called Lost in New York. Joey Janela's Lost in New York. It was last year, or was it last year? No, it was the year before last. Mm-hmm. And I originally wasn't actually booked on that show. Brett had seen me on the Southern Underground Pro show, which is Brett's the promoter. And he brought me in for this show because somebody got hurt, and I got to come out of the crowd, and I did this wild move. It's a tilt-whirl into a code breaker. Mm. I'll show it to you after this. I don't do it here anymore for a reason.
You won't be doing it to me.
Oh, I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to hit it on you more than once.
There you go.
No. I hit that, and Cody popped real hard, and he emailed somebody looking for my number, and I woke up the next morning from a text message from him saying, hey, this is Cody Rhodes. We'd like to invite you to come to All In. And I was like, whoa. But yeah, so Nashville's where I based myself out of for a long time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
So who was your very first match against?
It was against a girl. Her name was Brittany. And they couldn't find any other girls to wrestle her. So they called me up because I was her size. And I wrestled her. And then I wrestled another girl for about a year straight because they couldn't find anyone to wrestle her.
Hmm.
So I wrestled her. And
were you always called Marco Stunt?
Yeah.
Is that your real name?
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's not, actually.
So the stunt is because you're a stunt man?
Actually, I'll tell you where I got my name from. Yeah. I was playing WWE. I think it was 2015 game, the one that came out. And my name in there was Marco Stunt, and it was with a K, because I remember that. But those were the names that I was just scrolling through because I didn't have my real name. And so I picked Marco, and I was just scrolling through, and I couldn't find anything that I liked. So Stunt was the only thing that I could think of that they had on there that they actually said. Like, the announcer would actually say Marco Stunt.
Oh, and I see. So if you picked this name, that has been recorded by, yes, the announcer, Marco, yes, with a K.
Yeah.
Ah. So you didn't have your real name. What's your real first name?
My real name is Noah.
Noah, gotcha. Yeah. Don't have that. Not a popular name.
No.
Unless you're in the market for arcs.
I get that joke all the time.
First time you've ever heard that joke, right?
Yeah.
So when you're talking about, kind of getting your name around, and that's how you do it, like everyone else, you go work in Illinois, and then you go to Tennessee, and I just keep thinking back to, I mean, when I first started, I was smaller, but I wasn't super small. I keep thinking back to Mysterio, and I told the story when Jim Cornette was flipping out about you destroying the business and all that stuff, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I remember back to when Mysterio started, because I was there. Well, the first time I met Mysterio was with Art Barr in 1993 in Mexico City, and he brought him in, and I was like, dude, you can't be smoking a joint in front of this little kid. And he's like, he's not a little kid, he's 18. I'm like, bullshit, show me some ID. And that's where I got the first, I couldn't believe how small he was, right?
Yeah.
And then you see him throughout the years where the first time they brought him to Japan, I remember Tenru's brother-in-law, who's kind of the partner in WAR, the company we worked in, was screaming at Asai Ultimo Dragon, you're ruining the company, this is an embarrassment. And then after they watched him work, suddenly they want him on every show. So he really had to prove himself, but he was such a unique individual, he did. Are you getting the same reactions when you go into some of these locker rooms when you first start?
Oh, yeah. I think it was a long time. It's probably 3+ years before anybody started taking me a little bit seriously, mm-hmm, I guess. And it took me a while to learn, I guess, because I wasn't being put in there to learn. They were just putting me in there because they needed a body. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't really getting the training in that I needed. Luckily, getting out, got that training, but they didn't take me seriously at all. Everybody laughed at me, even getting out when I started traveling more and I started getting into these bigger indies, they still didn't take me seriously,
The people in the back or the people in the crowd or?
I would say both. Hmm. Now don't get me wrong, I wouldn't say the back is really negative.
Right.
I think it got better the more I traveled because like the more I traveled, I feel like the more people come together that are wanting to travel as well. Mm-hmm. And it's more like a brotherhood. And so they were cool. I found a lot of good friends in that, but definitely the crowd. Definitely the crowd. I've never had a crowd that I walk out in front of for the first time and they are like, oh yeah, this guy's the best.
Right.
You know, they're always like, what the hell is this kid doing here? You know? But
so how do you get them on your side?
I don't know. I go out there and I try to be myself. I turn it up a little bit, but I'm mostly myself in the ring. I try to put on a good show. And one time I did it with one backflip. That was cool.
That was cool.
I did my entrance. I waved and I did a moonsault off the second rope. And they were like, oh, I like this dude. That was the easiest one I've ever done.
I think it's like anything else. You have to convince people that you're committed to it and you're doing it. You know, I mean, you have to be committed to do this or at your size or it wouldn't be working. But I think when people understand that, they kind of respect it.
I think a lot of it has to do with the sympathy in the ring too. Like it takes a crowd a minute to get behind me. And then once like I start getting beat up and like I start reaching for it or something, then there's that one guy in the crowd that's like, oh no. Mm-hmm. All right, come on, Marco. And then that, you know, that makes a flood of people, you know.
It'd be very like easy to have a match with you. Very easy to have a match with you because like for that reason, just bully you and beat you up and then you make a comeback and do some sweet moves and people would get behind that. It's like the Rudy, the underdog and all that sort of thing, right?
No. That's my, I feel like that's my forte is being the underdog. They told me, I guess a week after being signed, they were like, yeah, we want you to be like the white meat baby face. And I didn't know what that meant at first. I had to ask multiple people. Actually,
you know what it means now?
I know what it means now.
Old school term for just the complete, not cliched because that, but just the complete template of a baby face. You love children, you love your mother, and you're just happy to be here and you give 110% type thing, right?
Yep. And I'm learning. I feel like I'm learning that slowly but surely. But there's a lot of me because I still have that independent mindset, I guess, the independent wrestler mindset where I want to go show everybody that I can do all these cool things. I want to get myself over by doing these cool things and maybe people will like me after that. But it's cool to learn now that I've been here for, I guess, a couple months now, 3 months. I'm learning how to slow down, learning how to tell a story, you know. Mm-hmm. I love doing that. That's like one of my favorite things in wrestling is being able to get with people and tell a story in the ring. Like,
well, and that's what wrestling is.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there's a lot of guys, and this happens when you work in indies, because you don't have a regular presence on TV or you don't come to Corpus Christi every week or whatever. People don't know you. So the tendency is I'm just going to do everything I can to leave an impression. And then 6 months from now when I come back, hopefully they remember you. Maybe somebody will see it on YouTube and hire me. But the real crux of wrestling, it's cool to see you say that. And I know Jungle Boy is feeling it. And I know that Darby Allin told me the same thing. We're not going anywhere. We're here every week.
Yeah.
So our best way to build is to tell the stories and build the characters of each individual so that people understand and get into it as a result.
I feel like we're doing, like AEW is doing such a good job and you have such a big role in that. Like I feel like you're helping us like dramatically because I don't feel like we would be, there's no way that we would be where we are right now if you weren't helping us in the back.
And that's one of my roles. And also, too, like, for example, let's go back to the first week we were on. Was it first week or second week when Luchasaurus got hurt?
Oh, yeah. That was the
first week?
No, second week? No.
It was right near the beginning.
Yeah, it was the first week of the tag tournament. So I want to say second or third.
So the bottom line was that was supposed to start the show.
Yeah.
And then the idea was to sub you in and you guys would start the show. And I was like, you can't do that because what I didn't want to happen was exactly what you said just happened. When people don't know you and you first come out, they're like, who the hell is this kid?
Yeah.
And they hadn't seen you in context with the other guys in the Jurassic Express, which is perfect for you. And I want to find out how you got involved in that, but you're part of the team. But when you come out without the giant guy, that's kind of like your big buddy. It was like, you can't start off the show with having him walk up by himself when we've never seen him on this program before.
Yeah.
And that's where all the insults were coming, you know? And then when Luchasaurus comes back, now it's like, oh, I get it. Had you guys been on 5 weeks in a row, you could have come up by yourself, but it wasn't the right order of that yet, you know?
Understand 100%.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did it the way we did it.
Right, because we switched the order around or something like that.
I think we went like fourth instead of first.
Yeah.
We were supposed to start, and I was freaking out because I only had 2 hours to get everything down.
Oh, tell us about that. So what happened then?
Okay, so I was getting ready for a match. I was supposed to be on dark that night with Joey Janela and Brandon Cutler. It was supposed to be a triple threat.
Three-way,
which ended up being a singles between them. And then Cody calls me over and was like, hey, Luchasaurus might be hurt. I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, I think he pulled a hamstring. We may have to sub you in. He was real nonchalant about it. And I was like, are you serious? And Christopher Daniel goes, yeah, he's serious. I was like, oh, God. So I was freaking out because it's the Lucha Brothers. You know, they have such a reputation for being a tag team, one of the best tag teams in the world. And here I am about to jump in there on 2 hours' notice. So
kicking off the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was freaking me out. Mm-hmm. It was because it was just happening so quick. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any time to prepare for it mentally or physically, really. But we got to the back and we had to wait another hour before we found out if he was going to even wrestle or not.
Because he was trying to rehab it and all that stuff.
He was trying to see if he could do anything. Unfortunately, he was not able to. So we had to put the match together, which was a lot easier than I anticipated, but we had to put the match together real quick. I feel like we put it together the best we could in that situation, for that situation, for sure. And it turned a lot of eyes when we finally got out there and did it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what started the Jurassic Express rise. I feel like we're still rising, but I feel like we started a rise right there.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
How did you get put into the Jurassic Express in the first place?
Originally, it was actually supposed to be me and Jungle Boy as a tag team. And then Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus were actually a tag team on the independence scene out in California. They would do the boy and his dinosaur gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came and they did a tag stuff in the Battle Royal for Double or Nothing. And they were like, okay, wow, these two are great together. We got to go ahead and put them together. So they kept them together as a tag team. And I was going to be with Jack anyways, so they put me with them. And it turned
You were never with the two of them before AEW?
No, I've never been in a tag team before AEW.
Oh, wow.
So being in a tag team was kind of like throwing me to the wolves almost. Because I've never done it. I don't know how it works. Or I mean, I'm starting to now, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm getting it better and better. I have a lot of good coaches, I feel like. But I had never done any sort of tag stuff. I've done the occasional one here and there, but I wasn't affiliated with them at all.
Interesting, because it looks like you guys have been working together for a long time.
Well, thank you.
Because like I said, it really fits with the, you know, it's like a Disney movie. We got the big lion and then you got like the, you know, the middle guy and then you got the little monkey guy running around or something. You know what I mean? Who jumps on someone's back if there's a fight or whatever. But I like the dynamic of it a lot with the three of you.
Thank you.
You know, and I thought it was kind of, once again, a little unfair to you to not have that have that shown before they just put you out with Jack, right?
Yeah.
So what did you think about that when you got all the backlash from some of the critics?
It bummed me out a lot, but I feel like the positive outweighed the negative in that situation. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of negative, and I saw a lot. I saw probably all of it because my eyes are drawn to it.
It's the world we live in now, too. Yeah. You check Twitter and see what's going on online. And
vanity search.
Right. What do people think of my match? Yeah.
And I don't think, and there was a lot of people that changed their minds that were set on not liking me. And then that match changed their minds. And that's what I wanted. And I want to keep doing that. But I feel like there's always going to be, you know, naysayers or there's always going to be that negative. But it definitely, it hurt a lot because I didn't understand. I did, and I guess I still don't. I didn't understand why they were saying all this or
What or, the, was saying what?
Like they were just, they were just I'm trying to think of something specific. Like
just being mean.
Yeah, they were just
like you're ruining the business.
Yeah.
Right.
Like they're just like deliberately saying like you don't belong. This is you're a joke. You're a disgrace. Stuff like that. Like calm down. Mm-hmm. Like you want to get in here and do what I do? Come on. Mm-hmm. Do it and prove me wrong. If you can like but you're like these people aren't out there doing what I'm doing. They're not putting their bodies on the line. And I would challenge them to try and do what I do, you know, because I'm going to do it better than them.
It was interesting to me because, like I said, once again, you're talking about just completely not even paying attention to the actual match or your work, just your size alone. And, you know, once again, before there was two guys that since you started here in AEW that have completely changed my mind because I just hadn't seen you. You're one and Orange Cassidy is another one. I just thought this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is stupid. I just punch him in the face or just, you know, crush this little guy. Yeah. And then you get in there. It's like, what's wrong with me? Because once again, I had that same thing when I started. You're too small. Over is over. Yeah. That's all that matters. And that's what I was saying when I think I said some kind of a Twitter to kind of in your defense. Like I saw the same thing happen with Mysterio. Same thing happened with me. But yeah, but you guys were in shape. I'm like, Ray wasn't in shape when he first started. He looked like a little kid because he was maybe 140 pounds, whatever. Yeah. Bottom line is over. Would you rather see Marco Stunton there connecting with the crowd and people going nuts and little kids love you, or see some 6'5" muscle head who's a wrestler, quote unquote, just because he's big and he's boring as f- and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
So what's better here? The perception or the reality, right? Is that, do you feel that too?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I when I'm actually out there, and I will say, I think I'm a lot, and I'm an in-person wrestler. Like if you see me in person, I feel like it's different than watching me on TV.
Interesting.
What do you
mean by that?
I feel like maybe it's harder to connect with me over a television screen, but I want to improve that, and I feel like I will improve that. I'm new to this, but I'm definitely used to the being in person, connecting with the crowd that's there, not necessarily connecting with the crowd that's watching me from behind a screen. So I understand watching me on TV and being like, okay, well, such and such and such and such, because I'm not connecting with them. But being in a crowd, I feel like I connect well with being in the crowd, being in the stadium or something. I feel like I connect well with that crowd specifically. I feel like I'm able to read them to an extent, and either they like me or they don't, but usually I'm able to connect with them, and I feel like I have a decent charisma about me, and it's not necessarily my wrestling either. I know, because I feel like what you said, you told me one day, you're like, you're a spectacle, like, because I'm small, and I'm starting to realize that, and I'm starting to try and learn how to use that in my advantage.
But, well, and that's the secret of, once again, of wrestling is don't worry about what you're not and embrace what you are, and really focus in on that. Because once again, we said this earlier, you're the smallest guy wrestling, so you can really focus on that and use that to your advantage, like you said, because nobody can touch you when it comes to that. And what used to be a detriment could become a huge positive as long as you know exactly how to harness that. It takes time, but I think you're starting to figure that out, like you mentioned.
And I don't, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, but it's just so unrealistic that I'm out there and stuff. But I'm not doing anything that's unrealistic. I'm getting beat up. I'm not body slamming people. I'm not clotheslining people. I'm rarely even punching people. And when I do, they're shoving me off. Mm-hmm. like I'm throwing myself at people trying to make it more realistic, you know? I don't know.
No, but I love that. It's not realistic. Okay, well, so when I throw someone to the ropes, they're going to magically bounce back. Like, the entire crux of wrestling is not realistic if you want to break it down like that. Exactly. It's just like when I go to a movie, well, Star Wars isn't realistic either, but everyone loves Yoda when he, like, whips people's ass, or, you know what I mean? You know, like R2-D2. Like, there's little characters like Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes. He's the most popular guy, right? Baby Yoda on Mandalorian. Like, that's realistic because you're drawn into the story of it and the way that the character portrays himself within that story.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to learn how to do.
Do you have, and what, for, first of all, before we go to that, a lot of great points about the difference between a live crowd and then connecting with the TV people too. That's interesting. That's,
yeah. I just feel like it's different learning how to work on camera. Like, cause I come from not having to worry about where I place my face or or not worrying about which turnbuckle I work out of and that's hard to me. And it's something new and it's challenging and I love it because it is a challenge and I love a challenge. But I think over time, I think it's not over time. I'll go back a little bit. I'm rushing myself.
Okay.
I think it's harder to connect over a TV to a character, not necessarily to a character unless you're doing a lot of backstory with it and stuff. But it's harder to just see a person in a match. Like whether you watch them every week and all they do is wrestle. It's harder to see them on a TV, I feel like, and connect with them than it is to be sitting front row and see them come out and be able to interact with them and connect with them there. Like, that's where I'm getting at, I guess.
No, that makes sense, because the thing is, too, and to really connect with the TV audience, you need that character.
Yes.
Whether it's promo time or whether it's just FaceTime with Jurassic Express in your case, that's because I think in the arena you can hear the slams and you can hear the chops and the sweat. TV, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a great example, but I don't like watching sports on TV. Mm-hmm. It's always more fun to actually be there.
100%.
Feel it more.
I'm the same way.
You know? And I think that kind of translates for characters in wrestling as well. Do you have, when you do talk to fans and meet fans, do a lot of kids relate to you? Do you have a lot of like little kids that are your fans?
I do. I don't get to meet as many as I... You know, as I see online,
right.
I see a lot more online, and then I'll have the occasional that'll like wait outside for us and stuff, which is cool.
So your response online is from a lot of kids?
Yeah. I'll get like Instagram messages and about how I'll inspire somebody or somebody that's in high school or something, and they're small, and I get a bunch of those, which is really, really, really cool to me because I'll tell the story. I used to message Sammy Guevara.
Really?
3 or 4 years ago, I used to message Sammy Guevara and I used to be like, man, you're really cool. I really like your stuff. I'm really enjoying watching your vlogs. I'm really enjoying watching your matches and stuff, because I was coming up at this time and I was still in Mississippi and I wasn't doing anything. And I saw him out here going country to country and state to state, and he was doing exactly what I wanted to do. And so I used to message him and he would message me back. So I know how it feels to get those messages, send those messages. And now I know how it feels to get them. And so
that's really cool.
Yeah.
When's the first time you met him face to face?
I have a picture. Actually.
Was it like recently or?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sammy?
Yeah.
No, I met him 2017.
Okay.
At WrestleCon, because I was walking around WrestleCon, and I was there for that WrestleMania in Orlando.
Mm.
And that was my first and only WrestleMania I've ever
been. When did you start wrestling?
2015.
15, right. Because I remember the first time we met was that. The
fight for
Las Vegas or something like that, or was it?
Yes, no, you're right. It was, it in Vegas?
I think in Vegas, at Frankie's concert or something like that, or whatever it was. Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's funny. When you have you ever wrestled out of the country?
No, I have not. That's on the goal list, so I want to real bad. I think I'm going to Australia. That's on the down low, though. But I think I'm going to Australia in the new year.
Okay.
So that'll be a fun one. That's actually a dream place of mine to go, just to visit. I don't think I could live there.
Isn't it amazing how it goes? So like you said, like you're working all these small things, and then you get signed to a national TV deal, and now you're going around the world and all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty crazy how fast it can move, right?
And realistically, it's moved very, very fast for me. Like, I'm only...
How old are you?
5 years in. I'm 23.
23, yeah.
Yeah, I'm only 23. I'm not even 5 years in yet, actually. Mm. I'll be 5 years in January. January, I think, 20th.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com. TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What did your parents say when you first told them you wanted to get into wrestling as a job?
My dad was all about it, but he didn't think I'd make it as a job at first. Mm. You know, I think my mom wasn't real happy about it because she likes it now, but she freaks out every
that's a
time
boy,
she
watches right?
it. Yeah,
because that's one thing. Being of small stature, I mean, the bumps probably hurt sometimes worse than they would.
I don't know.
You wouldn't know, right?
Know. They hurt. Yeah, they hurt for sure.
Yeah.
I know my body's real beat up. I go to the docs every week, and he complains to me that I'm way too tense. Hmm. So, but I mean, I feel like it's a normal thing now. I feel like my body's good right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling bad. I broke my leg back last November.
Oh yeah, tell us about that. I heard about it. What happened?
Yeah, I was being dumb. Mm-hmm. I took a Canadian destroyer off a stage through a door that was set up long ways.
Oh my gosh.
It was set up on the stage, and it was set up on the steps that they pulled away from the stage, which was a mistake in general because the steps were solid. Mm-hmm. Well, I had him up in like FU position, you know. I was going to run him off stage. Well, he slipped behind me, shoved me, and I turned around. He jumped up into the Canadian destroyer. Hmm. When he jumped really far out, so it drugged me. And we went way further back, and my leg wrapped around the step.
Oh.
Yeah. Broke it in half. I didn't realize it was broken at first. And then ref was like, "Are you good? Can you continue?" I was like, "I don't know. Let me go try to stand up." So I rolled over, and my leg, you know how skateboarders, they'll roll over and their leg will just flop. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that.
Was it in your
shit? It was the big bone right in the middle. Wow. Right,
so
in the middle.
Just kind of dipping. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was good times. That was fun.
So you couldn't finish the match?
No, they came and picked me up. They had to carry me out the front because I couldn't go into the back. They carried me around the whole building, and I laid on a couch for about 2 hours until the rest of the show finished. And then
why did you wait to give you a ride?
And that was me being stupid and stubborn. Geez. I didn't know my leg was broken. Mm. I thought I was just hurting, you know.
Hey, so I did the same thing. I didn't know my arm was broken when I broke it either.
Yeah,
no idea. When they showed me the X-ray, I was like, "What?
Yeah.
It's broken?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?"
I was really upset when I got to the hospital and they did the X-ray because it was like literally like this.
It's completely out of whack.
Yeah,
it's a fracture.
Could have come through the skin type.
Wasn't a compound, but it could have been, right?
It was a clean break, they said. Mm. So, but they had to go in. They drilled through my knee to realign it and stuff, and then they shoved a
plate.
I've got a metal rod all the way through my leg. Gotcha. and screws in my knee. But they took the screws out in my shin or my ankle because they were causing a bunch of problems. Mm. But when they took them out, it caused even more problems.
Oh, jeez. So. How long were you out for?
Not enough. I came back at probably 50%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I wanted to look good for Joey Janela at spring break, and I wanted to do his show. And it was both of us. He had already announced that he was returning, and mine was a surprise. And I showed up, and it was both of our return matches, which is cool, but is very not smart of me because I could barely walk still. Mm. I couldn't run. I don't know how I made it through that match, actually.
How did you make it through?
I don't know. I busted my eye open. You see the scar?
Yeah, I noticed.
I busted
that
my eye open in that match. I broke my nose in that match.
Jeez Louise, man. You know it's work, right?
Yeah. Tell Joey. No, I'm just kidding.
Because it's funny because, once again, you're sitting here and you're like probably thinking, I must sound like a real dumbass saying this, but I did the same thing in 94 working for Jim Cornette, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, broke my arm in practice.
Yeah.
Went.
Oh, wow, in practice?
Yeah, trying to shooting star press, unspotted with no mat like a moron. And
did you put your arm down?
I just kind of landed on it. Like,
oh, really?
Chest first on it.
Damn.
And once again, looking at it, does this look weird to you? Everyone's going, I go to the doctor. It's broken. You can't wrestle tonight. Of course, I do wrestle with a soft cast on. I told the doctor, I'm just going to go sit in the front row and wave. Okay, well, then we'll see you for surgery tomorrow morning. Go in the next day, surgery. And they wanted me out 16 weeks. I came back after 7.5. So I totally get it. Pretty much the same thing. I had to make this Japanese tour, and whether I was ready or not wasn't an option. Yeah. I have to be there.
You have to go.
Of course, in this day and age, it's completely ludicrous to think that. But when you're an independent wrestler with no money coming in other than the money that you're making, and like you said, you wanted to make Janela's show. I wanted to make the WAR Japanese tour. You do what you got to do.
Yep. I think I came back after. Okay, so November, December, January, February, March. 4 months in.
And they wanted you out for how long?
9.5
Shit.
9 to 10, I think. Or 6 to 9 is what it was.
So your bone might not even been totally healed at that point.
It wasn't.
You should have done what I did. I just ate a bottle of, literally, a bottle of calcium pills every day.
Really?
I would shove those things down my throat.
I took like 2 a day, I think.
I took like 200 a day.
That's insane.
And when I went back, the guy goes, wow, your bone is healed. Because I said, well, what if I eat a lot of calcium? He goes, it's probably not going to work. I said, well, it's because I ate all this calcium. So next time someone asks you, say, well, it can't hurt.
Just eat a bunch of calcium. Now I'm going to know that yeah. Next time I break a bone, you know.
Let's hope that doesn't happen again. So when you obviously you broke your leg, was it on an indie show?
It was.
What's the medical procedure for that as far as like insurance or just like you're on your own, buddy?
Luckily, I was on my parents' insurance at the time.
Okay.
So, but I mean, I still get the medical bills. But, you know, But
it's an expensive one.
A little bit.
Right.
Because I was out in LA at the time, and I went to this really nice hospital. Nicest one I've ever been in. I had a really hot nurse. Great.
Yeah, boy.
Young. And she was the one that was teaching me how to walk again. So I was always ready to walk. You know what I'm saying? But luckily, I was on my parents' insurance, so it wasn't too bad. But being out in LA, I was stuck in LA, and you know I'm from Mississippi, so I was stuck in LA for about a week, and it was, I got there the day before I got home the day before Thanksgiving, in time for Thanksgiving, but I don't think I even went. I think I was in bed for 2.5 months, so.
Mm-hmm. 2.5 months. And then when you came back for Janela's show, did you work more shows after? Uh-huh. Was it just back to work again?
Yeah, it's back to work.
Are you healed now?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I feel good now.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever be 100% per se, but I'm definitely in like 95 at least.
So tell us about when you got offered the contract here. Your first ever national contract, and you don't have to say the specifics, but yeah. I'm sure it's the most money you've ever seen.
Of course.
Ever,
it
right?
Is. Very much.
$2,000 might be the most money you've ever seen ever. But I mean, even so, it's still like, how was that conversation? Was it Cody that you talked to? Did you talk to Tony Khan?
See, that's weird. Okay. So I broke my leg, of course, and then I got a message from Cody asking in like January or February if I'd be ready for Double or Nothing, and I didn't know I was booked at that point. I was like, you got it. I wasn't gonna tell him no.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, you got it, I'll be ready.
And that was the first show you did for AEW?
I did All In.
All In was the Battle Royal?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then Double or Nothing was as well.
Gotcha.
But after that, okay, so no, he texted me and was like, hey, are you gonna be ready for, I think, was it March? Or April.
March or May, something
May,
like that.
Yeah, May, yeah. That's what it was. And I was like, yeah, no worries. He's like, okay, cool. I also had this idea for you and Jungle Boy to tag going into the shows. And I was like, you mean like AEW? He goes, yeah. Ooh. Why, do you want to work for us? I was like, well, of course.
Yeah.
And so nothing was really said of it until like we did Double or Nothing. And then I got booked again for Fight for the Fallen, which is where... I think we hung out.
Friends, yeah.
Yeah. But it was in the locker room. We were in the locker room talking about the first BTE bid I was going to do for them. I was real, real giddy about that. I was real excited.
Yeah. Being the elite.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Matt was like, he stopped in the middle of his conversation. Matt Jackson goes, you know, we should probably sign you. We should probably give you a contract. We got you booked for like a lot of TV and a lot of shows coming up. And they just started laughing. I was like, okay. Because I didn't know how to react to that. And so that's how I got offered my contract was they were just like, I guess we should give you a contract. And so I was like, okay. And then they sent me the contract. And then I was like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. I moved out of my parents' house, got my own car. So
they must have been happy about that.
They were.
Yeah.
My mom, not so much. Of course, my mom's big baby.
The first thing I really heard about you, other than just, but the first was you worked with Brian Alvarez, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you do something? Was your dad involved as well? Yeah. Like, tell me about that, because he was just going off on Marcos. You know how he gets, right? Marcos stunt. And meanwhile, I just watched a match with him and Jungle Boy the other day. And he's smaller than Jungle Boy. He can't be that much bigger than you are, Alvarez.
No, they played the big bully gimmick with him, too. He beat the shit out of me, dude. But they did the whole gimmick where he was... We had an angle, like, over the course. It was before I broke my leg, and after I broke my leg, I came back and we continued it.
Where is this? In, like, your home state? Or
this is in Indiana.
Okay, gotcha.
Indiana.
It was like Black Label Wrestling or something, right?
Yep. It was near Chicago, but they wanted to do the Mania gimmick where we have two, and then that would be the last one would be the Mania. But of course, I wasn't able to do it. Mm. So somehow my family got brought into it. I don't know how, but Brian wanted to bring my family into it, get them involved, and so they were sitting front row of our hardcore match, and we had doors and like this one. Almost paper thin wood strip. It was like not even the size of a door. And we did this gimmick where my dad slid in the ring and he got in Brian's face and he pointed and I turned around. I whacked him with the bat. It wasn't a real bat, it was like one of those wiffle ball bats. Mm-hmm. And he sold into my dad picking him up for the fireman's carry. He slipped off and got super kicked through a door. So that was my dad got color for the first time. He said he got a little paper cut on his finger and he's like, we were laying there selling and he goes, look, I got color.
Is your dad your size or bigger? Or
he's 6 foot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't get those jeans.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
My mom's 4'10 though.
You got your mom's jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. So what was it like for you? I was going to ask you before when you came to All In, for example, the first time here in the Battle Royal. I don't remember what you did because there was a lot of people in that Battle Royal.
That I think that actually is why I got signed. I did a lot in that Battle Royal. I feel like a lot more than I should have. Coming in, being as new as I was and as fresh as I was, I got a lot in, you know. But Bubba Ray wanted to work with me for some reason, which
because he understands. Yeah. Bully Ray.
Yeah.
Bully.
I loved it. Yeah. I was all about it, but he made me look like $1 million. Mm-hmm. So he's the reason I got just about every spot in that I did. Him and Dreamer are the two that made sure that I was
in. What kind of spots did you get in that match?
I had a face off with Bully Ray, which was really cool. I come up to his belly button. Got saved by Billy Gunn right there. I eliminated Moose from the Battle Royal.
All right. Mm-hmm. The guy from Impact?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then what else did I do? Oh, I hit that in that Codebreaker deal on Brian Cage. I'm going to have to show you that if you've never seen it.
I haven't seen
it. I'm going to show it to you later.
Steal it if I could, but I probably won't. So last week I come down to the ring and like everybody's in there just screwing around. Everyone's springboarding. QT's doing like a space flying Kyrie drop. You're doing a springboard, which would be like me doing like a 10-foot tall springboard. I'm like,
dude, those ropes come up to my chin.
That's what I mean. I hate all you guys. It's like every single person now is just super athletic. It just came into the business that way. And I'm like, geez, man. I said to Jerry Lynn, remember the days when we used to be high flyers, Jerry?
Man, Jerry Lynn's the coolest.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So nice. As we start to wind down here, have you had a chance to meet, like, besides guys in this locker room, when you mentioned Big Show or Kane or anything, have you ever met any of those guys at all?
No, I wish. If I met the Big Show, I'd probably cry, to be honest.
You love him. He's the best guy.
Man, I want to meet him so bad. I'm hoping to. I'm sure it'll happen one day.
He'd act mean at first and then find out who you are and he'd love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what's
yeah.
up. I love that.
So when you talk about WrestleCon, do you do a lot of those type of signings and stuff?
No, I've never done a.
Like, oh, you're just there as a fan walking
around.
Yeah,
I was,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I was just hanging out. I was there for WrestleMania. My buddies that I was had the Airbnb with, they wanted to go to WrestleCon. So I went and paid way too much money to go to WrestleCon.
And now people are going to pay way too much money to see you.
That's what it's about, baby.
That's it, baby. Because you know, every week you're on TV, it just gives your career more longevity in the back end.
Yeah. And know. I was talking about to Jack and Austin, Luchasaurus. I was like, you know, 20 years down the road, we're going to be booked at the indies as these legends, you know? We're going to be the legends. Like, the WCW guys are getting booked now.
Be like the Jurassic Express reunion.
Yeah.
group pictures available.
Yeah. $100 a picture.
$100. And you're on the cruise this year too.
Yeah, I am. Dude, I'm so excited for that. I went on a cruise one time in high school. I was a choir kid, and we went.
Choir kid?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I sing.
Really? Stuff.
Yeah. I was actually going to tell you we should jam out sometime. But
kind of singing. Was it like a
I'd do
soprano or is it a mezzo?
I could hit. I started out as a bass. And my freshman year, I was a bass. And then they moved me to tenor because.
Wow. Tenor, that's right.
Yeah.
How hard is that? Like, so how many people were in your choir?
There was a good amount. We won a lot of competitions.
So you're talking like 10, 20 people? 30 people?
Yeah, 20 to 30.
Probably. And everybody's in harmony and.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man.
That's great.
So if you're a tenor in choir, how many other tenors is there?
Okay, so there's probably about eight to 10 guys. So it would be split in half. There'd be like four or five basses and like four or five tenors, which is, for those of you that don't know, tenor is the guys that sing higher and the bass is the guys that sing lower. And then you had the baritones. You had a couple of those every once in a while, but those are specific songs, I think.
And when is there girls in it too?
Yeah, of course.
And what are they called?
Sopranos and altos.
Gotcha.
And altos would be the lower notes for the girls.
So how often do you have to rehearse for that?
We did it every day. Every day during school. And
it's a school choir.
Yeah. I was in high school choir. We traveled a lot for high school choir, though. We went to Disney 3 times, and we went on a cruise to Nassau.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's where we're going this time.
I know. I'm so excited because I was underage on that cruise, and now I'm not.
Just make sure you bring your ID, because I'm still not sure you're not trying to pull a scam on us here. Last couple of questions for you, man. Who do you want to wrestle here in AEW?
Jake Hager.
Ah.
That would be, I feel like just the spectacle of that match would be nuts.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And there's a good story to be told there.
Sure there
for
is.
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of evade and get away from him type stuff that we could do,
mm-hmm.
I think. I'm not trying to learn. I say that a lot. I'm trying to put more evade stuff in my moveset instead
evade?
Of, yeah, like yeah. Get away from people instead of.
That's like we did last week with the 1-2-3 and run between his legs. I mean, that sort of stuff.
Oh my gosh. I almost knocked myself out.
A hit on his knee?
No, I hit his shin. He's got the hardest shin I've ever felt in my life.
You got to be careful.
I thought I took a chair shot running under there.
Who's the favorite matches that you've ever had?
One of my buddies on the Independence is named, he goes by Jackson Crowley. He had one of my favorite matches. Probably one of the dumbest matches I've ever done too. But we just have such great chemistry. We've always connected.
What was one of the dumbest matches you ever did?
Because I fell off a balcony through a table.
What is this, you guys? Van Janella, you guys?
That's where I come from. I don't know, man. I don't know why I do a lot of stuff I do.
So Jackson, is there another one that stands up for you?
A guy named KTB was a fun one. And then
a guy named KTB?
KTB, Kyle the Beast. He's the guy that I hit that first move on.
Oh, okay.
The move on.
Have you had a lot of matches here in AEW?
No, I haven't. That's why I haven't put any matches up yet from AEW, because I don't feel like I've hit my...
The Pentagon...
That was a good match. Good, that was a fun one. I will put that one in, actually. That one was a fun one. I still have scars from that one.
From what?
The chops and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got scars.
Those overhand Mexican chops.
Ooh. There's something else.
What's your favorite match you've ever seen?
Eddie versus Ray at Halloween Havoc 97.
Oh, classic. Ray was wearing his...
purple or pink.
The Phantom was the name of it. Yeah.
That's my favorite match of all time. I heard, you can tell me if this is true or not, maybe, that they did a lot of that on the fly.
Yeah.
Really?
Eddie called a lot of stuff on the fly, but plus two, those guys had worked so many
times. Yeah.
So when you work a lot, I mean, times were a little different then. You did call a lot of the stuff, but you also made up a lot of it on the fly, especially if you had chemistry with the guy. Like I used to work with Dean every week, two, 3 times a week, and you just go in there and high spot A, high spot B, try this, try that. I remember one time we had to wrestle until the Mexican contingent got there because it was the first 3 matches were all Mexican luchadors, and then me and Dean. They didn't show up because they're all traveling together in a big van. So me and Dean had to go in first until they got there, but we didn't know how far they were. So we worked for 45 minutes. Try and do a match where you don't know how much time you have, how long you have to go, when the finish is, when the heat is. It's like I started as a babyface. Then we went so long that I turned heel. Then we went so long that I went back babyface. Wow. I don't know what that's to great. Do. And that's so
what, was the ref just telling you? He's like, no, keep going.
Just working. Yeah. Until someone came out and went like, hey guys, literally 45 minutes. It was the most meandering, longest match, but we had, you know, time and chemistry. So you just,
where was this?
Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go. So, well, cool. Marco Stunt. We got a big, big match here today. So, what are you looking for on the cruise? Are you looking for some chicks? Are you going to drink? Or are
gonna I'm going to drink. Okay. Drink. Are you guys, is Fozzie playing?
Yeah, we're playing three times.
Ooh.
Maybe can come I get on stage and sing some tenor with us.
Yeah.
Oh, Ava Maria. Give me one little tenor note.
Oh, what's your favorite note to
sing? Give me something.
Oh, no, I don't know if I can do that.
Just give me one.
What, like a, like a.
That's good.
Is that fine?
All right, thanks to Marco Stunt. He and the entire Jurassic Express, including that little bastard Jungle Boy, will be on the Jericho Cruise next month. Excited to have AEW on board when we set sail January 20th. We are sold out. The waiting list is packed, but you can still try and get on. Just go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com. We might have another announcement, a big announcement on board that ship for future cruises, but let's wait and see what happens. And speaking of which, New Year's Eve is only days away, so get your bubbly at alittlebitofthebubbly.com. A great way to ring in 2020. Don't forget, if you pop open a bottle of the bubbly, a little bit of the bubbly, send your videos, post them, hashtag them, tweet them, and we will retweet them. So get yours today at littlebitofthebubbly.com. Coming up on Wednesday, David Weiss returns to Talk Is Jericho to talk all about flat earth and the reason why he is convinced that we live on a flat earth. But in the meantime and in between time, I just want to thank you guys for another great year and for another great decade. I mean, unbelievable that we've been doing this for 624 episodes here on Talk Is Jericho. We started in December of 2013. Here we are, December of 2019. And what a great decade it's been. I started off in the WWE, finishing it off in AEW. Enjoyed all of my time with both companies and New Japan Pro Wrestling. And of course, all the stuff we've done with Fozzie. Nowhere to Run is currently residing at number 13 on the mainstream rock charts. So much cool stuff. Jay and Silent Bob reboot, and I mean, just everything. But I'm Chris Jericho, and Nothing to Report, and just everything that we've done. I thank you so much for being a part of my life, and I thank you so much for always respecting for what I do and relying on me to give you guys entertainment. And I'm going to continue to do that well into the next decade and the decade after that and the decade after that. So have a great New Year's. Don't drive drunk. Don't drive high. Be safe. And we'll see you guys all next year for another year of Talk Is Jericho and another great decade of Chris Jericho. Always here to try and make you guys happy. So thank you so much. Much love and respect to all of you here on Merry Christmas time and Happy New Year time. And just be cool, be good to each other, and God bless you. We will see you all soon. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And we'll see you in 2020. Yeah, boy! Oh, yeah!